your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Kia ora, Josh. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Lots happening out in space as per usual.
Oh, we've had a lot of stuff in the last, 2 weeks since we last spoke. Yeah, lots of new space news this week.
Yeah, there's a couple of videos which I always enjoy. I do love to watch a rocket blast off.
Yes.
Always entertaining. This one, the first one, I was actually a bit shook when I watched this video because I thought it was in reverse or something. It looks crazy. This is SpaceX launching and then catching mid-air their Starship rocket.
Yeah, it's really unreal when you watch the video. It kind of looks like an animation.
Yeah.
But yeah, SpaceX, they had their first test launch of the Starship rocket, and they had the first attempt of basically catching the booster mid-flight. So it went to space, it plummeted back to the Earth, fired its engines, and then they basically caught it with the launch tower mid-air on its very first attempt, which, yeah, as you saw in the video, it's just unreal. It's a huge feat of engineering that they pulled off on the first go, which is just amazing.
That is amazing. How is that happening?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty good with landing technology. So their current rockets, the smaller Falcon 9 rockets, they land on the ground or in the ocean on barges, but they have landing legs. So they basically deploy these little kind of legs on the side and they land on those. But this rocket is massive. This is a huge rocket. It basically cannot have landing legs because it's far too big and heavy. So they had to develop the technology to then catch it with these, what they're calling chopsticks, these two kind of metal arms on the launch tower.
Nice.
And that's kind of plucking it out of the air. And it's a really complex thing for you to be able to do that, not just with the physics of it, but with the aerodynamic engineering. And the amount of work that they've had to do to actually do this is just unbelievable. I stayed up to watch the launch, and I was just watching it, honestly in disbelief. Like, I can't believe they've done it for the first time, which, yeah, it's just unreal.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cute how at the end they include everyone's reactions in the video. I love how excited everyone was. I was like, yay!
Yeah, you can imagine, working on this for years and then doing it on the first time. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so what does that mean for landing other rockets kind of moving forward? Is it going to mean more possibilities for rockets with passengers?
Yeah, so the whole premise of this giant rocket is basically SpaceX, they want to make rockets fully and rapidly reusable. So basically when a rocket lands, they want to make sure that they can catch it out of the air, they can refuel the rocket, and then essentially send it back into space within a day or two. So it's not going to require repairs. And they basically want to bring down the price of going to space and make it as routine as a passenger flight, essentially. And that's just, it's a very challenging technical goal to overcome, but the progress that they're making is leaps and bounds at this point. But it's also really important for NASA because they're using a version of this rocket for the Artemis program to land people on the moon.
Right.
So this rapid development of this rocket is, it's a really good sign for NASA, and they're pretty excited about it. We're potentially going to be seeing, when they land on the moon, it's going to be a version of this rocket of the upper stage. So it's pretty exciting when you think about kind of how fast it's all happening.
Wow, that is exciting. In other videos of blast off, we have Europa Clipper from NASA. Tell me about what this spacecraft is doing.
Yeah, so this is NASA's latest interplanetary spacecraft, and it's the largest one that they've ever built. But it's called Europa Clipper. So this is, they're sending it off to Jupiter's moon called Europa. And the reason Europa is such an interesting place is because it's a frozen moon, so it's covered in ice. But under the ice, we believe that there's a really big ocean of salt water, and we've discovered geysers basically on the surface, basically spitting water out into space. As we know, water is the key ingredient for life. So, scientists are really keen to get to Europa. And this is NASA's first mission, dedicated mission for Europa, which is quite exciting.
That is exciting. Wow. And then finally, in our space news for the week, there's a comet, which I'm sure lots of our listeners have seen. Tell me about Comet C-2023A3.
Yeah, not a very nice name. Give it a new name, eh? we've had this really gorgeous little comet that's been in the sky. It kind of started to appear last week. and it's kind of brightened up over the weekend. So there's been quite a few photos of people just all, even from here in Auckland, imaging the comet in the sky, which is it's quite cool. It is very hard to see. I'm not going to lie and say it's really bright and beautiful. It is quite difficult to see. But it's not often that you get so many people just kind of photographing and seeing the comet from a city.
Mm.
And this specific comet, it's not going to come around in any human lifetime. So it kind of really is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see this little celestial visitor in the solar system.
Yeah, it said in the article like 80,000 years or something, eh?
Yeah, I think initial kind of calculations said that it probably goes around the sun at about 80,000 years, but NASA revised that. I was reading this morning that they actually think it's not even coming back. They probably think it's just flung out of the solar system now.
Wow.
Probably won't return at all, actually.
Hmm, quite a lot of visible stuff this week. Supermoon as well, right?
Yeah, we had that supermoon, I think that was on Friday, which was really beautiful. I'm not sure if anyone saw it rising. Supermoon's always pretty cool. Full moons are always beautiful to watch them rise.
Hmm. So is this comet still visible at all at the moment?
Yeah, so if anyone does want to try and catch it, first up, you're probably not going to see it with the naked eye because it is really kind of fuzzy and diffuse. But yeah, if you're in the city, even here from Auckland, if you get your phone out after sunset when it's nice and dark, if you point it west and you take a photo with like a night mode or the like long exposures that iPhones have, you might see this little fuzzy kind of blurry patch in the picture, and that's actually the comet, so it's much easier to pick up on cameras than it is with the naked eye.
Oh, interesting. Okay, iPhones? Technology,
yeah.
Right?
It's pretty cool.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Josh. Always a pleasure chatting. Thank you, Stardome, for bringing us Spaced Out. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
No problem. We'll speak to you then.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.